The Spirit and the Church cry out,
Come, Lord Jesus.
All those who await his appearance pray,
Come, Lord Jesus.
The whole creation pleads,
Come, Lord Jesus.
When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For his faithfulness as a preacher, preparing the way for the Lord's coming, calling people to repentance and baptizing them for the forgiveness of sins, John found himself imprisoned by Herod Antipas, where he dared to call him to repentance, speaking truth to power. And in weakness, Herod Antipas would consent to having John the Baptist's head cut off. There are many things in our lives which cause us great distress as Christians. As we bear the ongoing burden of our own sin, and as we endure assaults upon our faith from without. This Sunday, we should memorize the collect. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. I only know a little bit about the pain and the darkness and the struggles of your own life. But I do know that there is comfort. For God's people found nowhere else but in the babe of Bethlehem, who bore the darkness and the pain and the sorrow of your own life in his body to the tree of the cross. And for this reason, we respond, even when tears are streaming down our face, with the words of St. Paul in today's introit, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. For there is no other Savior. The Lord is at hand. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, pour out your complaint before the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep you in the true faith. The cross is a scandal, especially when it enters into our own lives and we're not just looking at it from the outside. John the Baptist was that messenger who prepared the way for the Lord's coming. But he suffered. He suffered for doing what was right. He suffered for giving the people the word of God. He suffered for calling them to repentance, not because he wanted to condemn them, but because he wanted to give them the eternal comfort of the gospel. In calling the people to repentance for their sin, he offered hope and comfort in the Savior. In him is forgiveness for all your sins. In him is life with God. In him is comfort and peace. In him is rescue from all evil, from within and from without. Lord Jesus, enlighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. John offered hope and comfort in Jesus as sinners heard that word. And that it touched their hearts is evident by the fact that they flooded to him in contrition and repentance to be baptized by John at the Jordan River, having their sins washed away. But in the midst of this hope and comfort, as he prepared the Lord's way, He was arrested by Herod Antipas, thrown into prison, and there in the dungeon of Herod's palace, he had no comfort. In exchange for offering hope of new life in Christ, he would lose his life at the hands of Antipas's executioner. Let us understand clearly what John the Baptist was going through. It is never easy to be a faithful Christian. It is never easy to be a faithful minister of the gospel. And it may be counterintuitive to us because, as Christians, we believe in the grace of God, the sweet message of the gospel. As ministers, we're called to proclaim that word. So to be hated for it, to be imprisoned for it, to suffer for it seems counterintuitive. So it is never easy to be a Christian or to be a minister of the gospel. To be sure, John was called to say some difficult things for his congregation to hear. But he did so because, in the words of St. Paul's epistle, he was a faithful steward of the mysteries of grace, and he answered to the Lord for what he preached. And he preached the gifts of God's love in Christ. But this helps us understand the question he sent to Jesus by two of his disciples. When he heard in prison about the works of Christ, he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" John, rightly and understandably, needed encouragement and strength. So do you, don't you? If John the Baptist needed encouragement and strength, as the forerunner of Jesus who had seen him and who had baptized him in the Jordan River, but who suffered greatly for proclaiming Christ, do we not also need encouragement? Are not the words of the prophet Isaiah true about us? "All flesh is as grass, and all its loveliness as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades." Are we not all in that same condition? Just because you're a believer, or just because you're a minister, doesn't mean you do not need the Lord's absolution and the Lord's encouraging word of grace. It is not easy to be imprisoned for the name of Christ. Duh. It's not easy to be put to death because you believe in Jesus or confess him. That point should be obvious, but so often it isn't. We think a person is a Christian, and therefore they believe in Christ, they have no struggles whatsoever, and that's absolutely a lie. Jesus needed to strengthen John, or John could not have been faithful unto death and received the crown of life. The same is true for us. That's why these are essential services, to be comforted and strengthened in our tears. John's question is significant. He did not merely ask Jesus if he was, in fact, the Messiah, but he then said, "Or do we look for another?" Do we look for another? That particular question is not a question of despair or unbelief, but rather one of faith in the promises of God. In other words, John believes in the Messiah, in who the Messiah is, and in what the Messiah would do, even though the thought occurred to him that perhaps Jesus is not that Messiah. Do we look for another? But Jesus' reply to John is not one of scolding. It is very significant because it teaches us that our faith in Jesus as the Messiah rests entirely upon the Word of God, which we need to hear again and again because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, comes to us through that Word to enliven faith and to enlighten the darkness of our hearts by a gracious visitation of our Lord Jesus that happens even now in this world of sorrow and tears. The Holy Scriptures are the only source of faith and faith's certainty. The Jesus whom we worship, we know through the certainty of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. It is why we are to meditate upon it, to watch and pray, immersing ourselves in the Scriptures. When Jesus says to the followers of John, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see," you might be tempted to think that Jesus is directing them to experiences. Not exactly. The things that Jesus did were the things that the Scriptures themselves proclaimed. Like the order of creation, when God said, "Let there be," and it was so, we are observing around us in the world the effect of the Word in calling things into existence out of nothing. So also, those miracles that Jesus performed were the miracles of the Word, and they were anchored in the promises of the Word in the Old Testament Scriptures. Quoting now from the Old Testament, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Those words from the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled concretely in the ministry of Jesus. Just as the words of Jesus' comfort are fulfilled in your life, as your conscience is set free from the burden of sin and the bondage of Satan and of the law. Those are real manifestations of the power of the inscripturated word to give you Jesus and the comfort of his everlasting gospel. The last thing that Jesus said to those followers of John to take back to him was, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me, scandalized, who doesn't trip over my suffering." Not only the suffering of Jesus on the cross, but how John and we are sometimes made to suffer because we are Christians. The physical signs were the spiritual miracles that the Scriptures foretold. Everything Jesus did fulfilled the Scriptures, and therefore created and strengthened faith. Those miraculous signs were, as it were, sacramental in character. Here, a visible, concrete sign in the healing and the raising of the dead, coupled to the word of the gospel, which made it so. Just as you and I will receive the sign of the bread and wine, but by the word of Jesus, coupled to these earthly elements, we are receiving no one less than the suffering Savior who rose from the dead and by his body and blood restores our life. Jesus gave sight to the blind, and in so doing, they saw clearly their own sin and the all-sufficiency of God's grace to cover their sins. Jesus made cripples walk, and in so doing, there was freedom for them. Real freedom from spiritual bondage. Jesus cleansed the lepers and in so doing purified them from every spiritual corruption and enlightened the darkness of their hearts. Jesus restored hearing to the deaf, and in so doing they heard the sweet words of the forgiveness of sins that comforted their conscience and gave them hope in the midst of the darkness. Jesus raised the dead, and in so doing proclaimed the resurrection of the body to new life and immortality for every believer. Jesus preached the gospel of free forgiveness to the poor, and in so doing gave them the eternal treasures of heaven. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand, even now in his precious word and in his sacraments. Therefore, let your prayers and supplications be known to him, for he cares for you like a high priest who is acquainted with all your sin, all of your weaknesses, and all of your sorrows. And there is grace to help in every time of need and through the things that we suffer. Just like John the Baptist, we bear witness to that one whose suffering is our salvation. Go and tell John what you hear and see. John the Baptist was strengthened by what he heard and by what he saw in Jesus, because it was anchored in the prophet Isaiah and every promise of the Old Testament. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice. And again Isaiah says, "Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing." The cross entered into John the Baptist's life when he was in prison for the name of Jesus. But in the end, for him, as it is true also for us, the scriptures directed his faithful ministry as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and also strengthened, fortified, and comforted him to endure. He was made faithful unto death and given the crown of life. The Holy Scriptures do the same for you. The Spirit and the Church cry out,
"Come, Lord Jesus."
All those who await his appearance pray,
"Come, Lord Jesus."
The whole creation pleads,
"Come, Lord Jesus."
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.